So first of all, thank you for the invitation. I thank the city of Vienna, Südwind. It's an honor to be here and to have to share with you this afternoon. For sure, the concept of food sovereignty, and first of all, sorry for my English, I will try to speak very slow, and as usually I do, and I hope that it will be quite understandable, although with the Italian accent. So, first of all, food sovereignty. We are here to start to have or think again and again why we are fighting for food sovereignty, why food sovereignty is so essential for us today, and why food sovereignty is so already in our daily life, and how food sovereignty is not only a principle, a concept up in the sky, but it's something that we are really fighting for, and we are really already doing something on that. And I think the first thing that we need to have in mind is that we are talking about our fundamental rights. Very often when we start to talk about food sovereignty, immediately we talk about market, local market, and this is right because it's part of the discussion. But what is the heart of the discussion? What is really our base on which we build all our action are the rights. Our essential rights, for sure, the right to food, that is a human basic right. And it's far to be really done by the government. We talk about rights, and we often forget that our duty, state and governments have duty. They have to guarantee the right to food. It's not something by chance that we have right to food. It's a duty for the, but they are not doing that. That has to be clear. What is incredible is that we are talking about our fundamental rights, that is not only the right to food, it's the right for us as farmers to choose what we want to farm, to have access to land, to have access to water, to have access to our own seed, that we are losing our seed. Good afternoon. And for sure, those rights are the ones that are endangered. And there are decades that more and more those rights are endangered, with policies that are going exactly in the other direction. And those rights are not guaranteed by the states. But in the same time, you have essential agreement, like the trade agreements, that are compulsory for the governments. Most of the governments and the state in the world are part of the World Trade Organization. And the agreement on agriculture of the World Trade Organization is something that is compulsory. It's not something that some governments can or cannot do. No, that is compulsory. And how it's possible that today the right to food is voluntary, and the fact that I have to respect a trade agreement is compulsory? That is the issue. That is why, again and again, every year, we have the same statistics, we have the same number of hungry people in the world, malnutrition. It's becoming incredible that we have even more obesity problem than people that are starving. And all that are simply because we are not respecting our basic rights. And the government, they are not respecting their duty. So the fight for our rights is an essential element of starting our idea on food sovereignty. Because we want to go back to our main role. If you remember, farmers from centuries, hundreds, thousands of years, we have selected our own seeds. 10,000 years ago, there was not a seed company that was making the selection of seeds. And I can assure you that the wheat that we are using is not exactly what it was used 10,000 years ago. And somebody has selected that wheat. And we didn't have to wait a seed company to make selection on variety. So that, and that is, it is still our knowledge. And when your knowledge is in danger, when your knowledge is not at the heart of the model of production, when your knowledge is still, when your knowledge is not possible to use your knowledge, because somebody else is coming into your farm and say, there is another technical package, you have to use this seed, this pesticide, this herbicide, and this is the technical package, and you have to apply that. Where are your rights? Where are your rights? And when you, citizens, go to the supermarket and choose, think to choose something on the shelf of the supermarket, where are your rights? So the problem is not today how we can fight or not for food sovereignty. Is we want to go back on our rights or not? And if we don't go back to our rights, how we can think to fight hunger in the world, how we can think to fight malnutrition, how we can think to have another kind of society where there is a much more balanced society, with not this polarized society, more and more very rich people and very poor people. It's incredible that in your neighboring country, again from Italy, today the statistic is that we have 6 million people that are poor. And we need to do a day that was yesterday, the food bank day. So where this with charity, we go to the supermarket, we buy some food, and then we say, okay, this food is for the poor. Where are our rights? We can think that we can live on the base of the charity of the richest? Is this the society that we want to build? So this is the big, huge problem today. We need to come back, and this is possible in the other time. The other thing that is very important is that we are doing that. Because on the basis of the fact that we reclaim our rights, there are hundreds of thousands of experiences all around the world that are acting in this sense. Because if we go back to our rights, if we go back to our rights to access to land, to our rights to make our own and control our seed will be better, much better. How can you think that in a situation of full climate change, where you have no idea what is the climate in the next years, you can use those kind of breeds and variety that are selected by seed company because they think that this is the character that it's more productive and this is what I patent and this is what I put in the market. And the other way, we are doing selection of variety that are much more broader in terms of genes, in terms of resistance, in terms of adaptation to a very different situation that nobody of us can foresee in the next future. Those seeds will be the base of the possibility to produce tomorrow. So those are the things that we need to have in mind, that if we go back to our rights, we are building a way to produce for the food for all for the future. Because this year, in 2014, was the International Year of Family Farming, no? And why we have to wait 30 or more years to hear those basic data? There are 570 million farms in the world. 500 million farms are family farming. Out of these, 470 million are small and very small farms. And those people are feeding the world. It's not the agro-industrial model that is feeding the world. And those are facts and data that are given by FAO, not by Campesina. So this is incredible that we need to wait so many years to say that. And now all the food policy start to say, okay, yes, in fact, family farming is at the heart of the food system. So we need to put family farming at the heart of our policies. But this means that we are changing everything. Because why we have to wait so much time to have an official statement on the principle on responsible agricultural investment that was just adopted by the World Committee on Food Security, that stated very clearly that the first investors in agriculture in the world are the smallholders. Huh? Everybody thinks that first investor is Monsanto. This is a big lie. Private investment, it's only 5% of the investment in agriculture. 70% of the investment in agriculture are done by the smallholders all over the world. Then there is public investment, and then by far arrive the private investments. And if we don't give those people the rights to do their own agriculture, they cannot be the first investors. So when we are talking about food sovereignty, we are talking, I repeat, on the basis of our rights, the fact that we have the answer, if we can really use our own rights. Because it's incredible that in this Europe, our democratic Europe, we have signed, all the governments of Europe have signed the International Treaty on Genetic Resources. And in that international treaty, it's written, Article 9, the farmers has the right to breed, select, sell, and exchange their own seed. Why in Europe it's forbidden? Why in Europe this is not possible to do it? Why we are in this situation? That is our basic rights. How can you do that, a kind of agriculture that is sustainable, that is based on agroecology, if you can't do that? That is really impossible. So it is clear that there is a political framework that is built against our rights. And I'm afraid that when I think to the common agriculture policy, and when I think that what is the cultural base of the common agriculture policy, and you go to the commission, the cultural base of the common agriculture policy is not food security, is not the right to food, is the treaty on agriculture that is in WTO. So the common agriculture policy must comply with the agreement on agriculture on WTO. All the common agriculture policy, but indeed, I think, and somebody can help me, when I talk about common agriculture policy, I think to food security of the European citizens, because we built Europe to be a peaceful place, and we built Europe just after the Second World War where we were starving, and we had to build a food security policy. And this is the origin. So, in that sense, we need to think that food sovereignty, it's going back to our rights. It's also a very different way to see the word, the essential word that now everybody say market. But what is the market? The market is a place of relation. We think that the market is only where what the food chain is now called, with a very, very vertical food chain, where there is a small producer that has to give to a middleman, then has to give to the supermarket, and they make the business. Well, the market is something quite different. The market is a place of relation. And we need, if we want to go back to our rights, we need to build back our idea of market. And this is essential, because all those practices of food sovereignty that we have all over the world, and then you will heard about it, are essential, are possible to be a full and complete answer if we build our own market, our own real and concrete market. So this is why food sovereignty is not only a principle. Food sovereignty is a number of infinitive options that we are practicing all over the world. And this is our back, your rights are based on your rights, on your opportunity to change the world. Because when we are practicing our rights, most of the things that now we don't like has to change. That is clear and evident for us. So we need to practice our rights, because if we don't practice our rights, somebody else will choose for us, and indeed nothing will change. And I close. In 1996, the first World Food Summit had an objective. We need to halve the hunger in the world. In 1996, there were 800 million hungry people in the world. Now we have exactly the same data. And at that time, Fidel Castro said, well, it's a bit strange to say we need to halve, we need to end maybe the hunger. Well, we are very far from that. And we don't want to change. That's the problem. We don't want to change this system. So this is why food sovereignty is now the answer, and we need to practice that. And the people that can do that are the smallholders all around the world, in alliance with the citizens all around the world, because those alliances are the ones that can change essentially the food system, the model of consumption, the model of production, and this is why food sovereignty is today the answer. Thank you.